Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. In 1981, two of the leading church growth scholars in the world, Dr. Donald McGavran, called by many the Dean of Church Growth Scholars, and Dr. Wynn Arne, wrote a little book with the title, Back to Basics in Church Growth. These two prominent scholars affirm that God has revealed His truth exclusively in Jesus Christ. They argued that it is truly remarkable how very exclusive the Scriptures are. Page 16. They believe the early church grew because of one remarkable truth, the belief that Jesus Christ was essential to salvation. Page 22. One chapter in the book is entitled, No Other Name, pages 38 through 54. McGavran and Arne believe the church is not growing today because there is no sure belief that Jesus is the way to God, the only way to God. Our lesson today will be devoted to the topic, No Other Name. It is appropriate to speak on this topic in view of the religious pluralism that seems to be sweeping so many liberal denominations, and that includes some left-leaning churches of Christ. Prominent denominations believe that demanding allegiance to Christ as our only Savior is intolerant, bigoted, and divisive. Some of them are willing to compromise the Bible's teaching on Christ as our only Savior in order to be popular with the world. Do they not realize that the world has always objected to the exclusiveness of Christianity? Why was Christ crucified and many of the early gospel preachers persecuted and even killed? If they had taught that Jesus is a way, perhaps even the best way, but not the only way, there would have been little opposition to the New Testament church. The apostles would not and could not concede that there is some other way to God Almighty. So they had to suffer for their convictions. Stephen L. Carter is one of America's outstanding legal scholars. His book, The Culture of Disbelief, How American Law and Politics Trivialize Religious Devotion, became a national bestseller, and for good reason. He points out that our government has relegated religion to the fringes of society. Some of our judges seem to believe it is all right to pray, so long as you do it in the privacy of your home or at church. But God forbid that you should pray at a ball game or at a commencement exercise in a public school. And would it not destroy the wall of separation between church and state to hang the Ten Commandments on the walls of public schools? What if some child were to read the Ten Commandments and conclude that he ought not to murder anyone? Would that not be an absolute shame? Carter's book has been very helpful to me in my sermons and lectures. There is one serious problem with Carter's book. Although he claims to be an evangelical Christian, he actually is an Episcopalian. He affirms, nothing about the nature of religion requires either exclusivity or universality. Page 91. In other words, Jesus Christ is not our only Savior, and Christianity is not necessarily intended for everyone. If that were true, how would you explain our Lord's words to His apostles? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. What could possibly be more universal than the expression, all the world and every creature? I shall deal later in the lesson with Stephen Carter's comments on the exclusivity of religion, especially as they apply to New Testament Christianity. The Tennessean, Friday, June the 15th, 2001, published an article with the title, Jesus' Role in Salvation Debated. The article reported on a debate in progress within the Presbyterian Church, USA. Through the ages, most of those who have identified themselves as Christians have maintained that our only way to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. The growth of non-Christian religions has caused some within so-called mainline denominations to re-examine their beliefs about Christ. The conservatives within the Presbyterian Church, USA, the nation's largest Presbyterian church, offered a resolution which said that Jesus is our only way to God. The resolution was defeated. One delegate to the General Assembly commented, "If salvation isn't singular through Jesus, that would mean it is plural. If it is plural, who are the other deities we're talking about?" Page 12a. There is more to the article, but this brief review will give you some insight into what is occurring among liberal denominations in our day. It is a very disturbing trend, one that will discourage many seekers after truth. The title of our lesson, No Other Name, as most of you probably know, comes from Peter's confrontation with some Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. The apostles Peter and John had healed a lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple. The Jewish leaders knew that a great miracle had been performed, but they did not want news of the miracle to spread any further. They were afraid they would lose some of their followers to Christianity. The Jewish leaders brought Peter and John before them and asked, "By what power, or by what name have you done this, that is, healed the lame man?" The apostle Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, responded, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is the stone that was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Now please listen carefully to Peter's concluding statement. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4:7-12. You may disagree with what Peter said, and that is your prerogative, although you will have to give an account of your behavior at the final judgment. But you cannot miss the meaning of Peter's simple and powerful words. God himself has made salvation available through and only through Jesus Christ. How can Stephen Carter or anyone else who claims to be a Bible-believing Christian harmonize his views regarding the exclusivity of Christianity with Peter's words to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem? If words have any meaning at all, Peter was not claiming that Jesus was the best Savior. He was arguing that Jesus is the only Savior. Nothing can be more exclusive than that. There are many biblical passages that maintain the exclusiveness of Christianity and of Christ, but I shall confine my remarks today primarily to the Gospel according to John. But before I review with you several passages from John, I shall read statements from three books by evangelical authors. In 1996, Dr. D.A. Carson wrote a great book with the title, The Gagging of God, Christianity Confronts Pluralism. Dr. Carson affirms that philosophical pluralism has invented a great number of ways to sustain the thesis that absolute truth does not exist or cannot be known. The common view among philosophers and liberal theologians is that any notion that a particular ideological or religious claim is intrinsically superior to another is necessarily wrong. The absolute creed is the creed of pluralism. No religion has the right to pronounce itself right or true, and the others false or even, in the majority view, relatively inferior. Page 19. The second statement comes from Dennis Occam and Timothy Phillips' book, Four Views on Salvation in a Pluralistic World. These two scholars served as editors of the book that includes a discussion of various approaches to truth, pluralism, inclusivism, and exclusivism. The editors of the book quote these startling facts about students in evangelical colleges in the United States. Only two-thirds of the students in evangelical colleges believe that the sole hope of heaven is through a personal faith in Jesus Christ. page 11. Fewer than a half of evangelical students believe in absolute truth. The third book was written by Dr. Ronald Nash, professor of philosophy at Reform Seminary in Orlando, Florida. Dr. Nash's book has the title, Is Jesus Our Only Savior? Dr. Nash quotes these disturbing words from John Sanders, a theologian who embraces inclusivism, that is, that those outside the Christian faith may be saved. Saving faith does not necessitate knowledge of Christ in this life. God's gracious activity is wider than the arena of special revelation. God will accept into His kingdom those who repent and trust Him, even if they know nothing about Jesus. Page 123. Now let us turn to the book of John to get God's view of salvation in Christ. The golden text and the verses surrounding it make it clear that Jesus is our only Savior. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes on Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:14-18. Men may choose to believe this text or to reject it, but it is difficult to misunderstand it. How can pluralists who claim to be Christians ignore the Lord's words? He who does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God is condemned already. There is nothing obscure about this passage. Those who reject Christ's words are unbelievers and condemned before the God of heaven. At one point in our Savior's life, many of His disciples turned away from Him and walked no more with Him. Jesus asked the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." John 6:66-69. The founders of various world religions almost never claimed to have the words of eternal life as Peter claimed for Jesus. If those leaders had made such claims, most men would have thought they were joking. Nobody thought Jesus was joking when He claimed to be the Son of God, the only Savior of the world. Incidentally, if Peter had made false claims for Jesus, do you not think that our Lord would have corrected him? In a very intense confrontation between Jesus and some Jews, Jesus said, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." John 8:23-24. How presumptuous it would have been for the founder of any of the world religions or the founder of any denomination to say to his followers, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." Did you know that the word "except" in this verse is the same one Jesus used when He said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." John 3:5. The word "except" means if and only if. If the Jews did not believe in Jesus Christ, they would die in their sins. How could Stephen Carter harmonize this verse with his denial of the exclusivity of Christianity? Time will not allow an in-depth discussion of the great "I am" passages in the book of John, but I do want to mention some of them briefly. In His parable of the Good Shepherd, Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives His life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of them. John 10:7, 9, 11, and 14. Was Jesus mistaken about being the door and the shepherd? The definite article means that Jesus is the only door into the kingdom of God, and the only shepherd who has the power to save the sheep. If that is not what Jesus meant, we have been deceived into believing error. But you know that is what he meant, since that is exactly what he said. The parable of the vine and the branches teaches the same truth I have outlined from the parable of the good shepherd, and that is, Jesus is our only way to God. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. John 15:1. Does that mean there are some false vines, that is, vines that claim to provide spiritual sustenance, but cannot? Do you know what will happen to those false vines? Jesus explained, Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 15:13. In spite of what modern pluralists argue, God has planted only New Testament Christianity. Jesus is the only true vine. All others will be rooted up. I know how intolerant that sounds, but that is the teaching of the New Testament. Jesus also said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:5-7. How was it possible that Christ could have been more exclusive in his claims? If men do not abide in Christ, they are cast into the fire and burned. If they do abide in him, they shall have eternal life. No passage in the Bible makes a stronger argument for Jesus as our only Savior than John 14. Jesus told his disciples that he was going to leave them. They wanted to know where he was going. He answered, Where I go, you cannot follow me, but you shall follow me afterward. Jesus wanted to console his followers, so he said to them, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas says unto him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? John 14:1-5. Our Lord's answer to Thomas's question puts an end to the controversy over the exclusiveness of Christianity. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Please take note of the definite articles in the verse. Jesus did not say, I am a way. He said, I am the way. Maybe Jesus had no authority to make that kind of statement, but there is no doubt he made it. And after almost 2,000 years, almost all who make any pretense of being Christians believe that Jesus is the way. It is only in recent years that modernists and postmodernists have challenged what Jesus taught. How can anyone who claims to be a Christian question the authority and truthfulness of the one who died that we might live and enjoy the promise of eternal life? However sincere liberal preachers may be, and I am not questioning their sincerity, no man has a right to call himself a Christian when he denies that Jesus is our Savior, our only Savior. Jesus also said, I am the truth. He makes no pretense of teaching men truth about agriculture, business, and medicine, although whatever he said on these topics is true. Jesus came to bring truth about God and his will for fallen men. Our Lord wanted men to know so they could turn from their wickedness and obey His gospel. That was His reason for commanding His disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. Matthew 28:19-20. If any other truth could have saved men, surely Jesus would have mentioned that fact. Finally, Jesus is the life, the only life. It was through His death on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, His ascension to the Father, and His perfect life that we have eternal redemption. Men may enjoy physical life without submitting to Jesus Christ, but they cannot enjoy eternal life without Him. Does Stephen Carter not believe what Jesus told Thomas? I know it may sound intolerant to modern ears, but truth has always been intolerant of sin and error. Our Lord concluded His statements to Thomas by saying, "No man comes to the Father but by Me." No other philosophy and no other religion can remove the barriers between God and man and give eternal life to those who seek it. Only Christ's way will save men. It is through Jesus and Jesus alone that we are able to come to God for the remission of our sins. There is no other way, no other truth, no other life, and no other name. So today, if you are not a Christian, will you not confess Jesus as the Son of God, repent of your alien sins, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.